I'm Sean Reese, and you'll be hearing from my brother Shannon here in a few moments. Since both of us would rather have just sat here and soaked all this in and not said anything, we couldn't agree who had to get up here and do it, so we decided rather than fight over it, we would both do part of the presentation. We were sent almost 2 years ago by HeartCry to Zambia. We were working out in western Zambia near the Angola border on the Zambezi River out in the bush with the Lozi people. Estimates run between 500,000 and 1 million Lozi people. They are classified as reached in Operation World and other various studies, but that would be a very loose term. I don't think they've been reached by the true gospel yet. And so we've been laboring there almost 2 years. And as I give you a little bit of background of our work, I'm going to relate it to a Bible story in Mark chapter 2. And you might think this is a strange story for a missions report. But in Mark 2, verse 1, it says, "When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' And he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Have you ever looked at that story as a picture of missions? Now here's the question: where's the missionary in that story? I would like to say for the Reeses that we are the four brave friends carrying the Lozi to Jesus. That would not be accurate. We are the paralytic on the mat. And the Lozi are here, they're in the story, they're the scribes. They're the skeptics, blinded by witchcraft, blinded by false religion, who do not believe Jesus has the power to atone for sin or heal their problems. And who are the four friends? You guys. Precious saints all across this country that have been lifting us up in prayer and saying, "God, please help them." Because they need it. And our only hope is that Christ will say, "Reeses, get up and walk." And that he will do something that will amaze the Lozi in their skepticism and glorify God. And they will say, "How did God do this through them?" That's what we want, isn't it? We want God to get all the glory. So I want to talk a little bit about some of our paralysis over the last 2 years. And I won't dwell on the negative very long, but and not that it's been all negative. But we've been paralyzed in several areas. We've experienced paralysis in our ministry with the village. As we've gone in, we've made blunders trying to do cross-cultural ministry. We've been opposed both passively and openly, and actively opposed. We've dealt with coming to the gradual realization that these people really don't want us here for the gospel. They're hoping for physical gain, and that's the only motive they have at this point for wanting us here. So we've been paralyzed there. We've seen very little fruit. After months of having daily devotions with some of our workers, we ask them, "What is the gospel?" And we still get a blank look and to obey the Bible, keep the law, do good works, after you've taught them the gospel over and over and over. So paralysis there. We've been paralyzed in building. A lot of our efforts sadly have been consumed with trying to establish a base camp out there on the river in the bush. Our three-month building project for the base camp is now at, I think, 18 months and still not finished. And I could tell lots of stories there. But we have had to submit to the hand of God, clearly just delaying us time after time after time. We've experienced over the last 8 months some paralysis, even in our relationship with the indigenous church there in Zambia that we've been partnering with. Things like minor doctrinal disagreements, cultural misunderstandings and mistrust, and that has been a rather painful trial. And perhaps the greatest paralysis is just us, just sin and self. As Christ has used Africa to bring a lot of, not all of it yet, but a lot of the ugliness in us to the surface, revealing pride and selfishness and impatience and anger that he might purify it. And isn't it interesting, before the paralytic could get up and walk, Christ had to deal with his sin. Had to deal with the sin before he could walk, and we've seen that happening. And so the Lord has been dealing with sin, and now I think we're starting to walk. And so I'm going to invite my brother now to come up and tell some of the good stuff that the Lord is beginning to do.
We really do have some things to praise the Lord for. I mean, of course, we can praise him for dealing with our sin, although it's painful. But there are some other fun things, a little on the lighter side, that we can really praise the Lord for. And one of those is our brother Enoch. This is Enoch Munjoma and his son Mordecai. And you can see just by their faces that these guys are absolutely alive. This brother just loves the Lord and has been a light among the darkness out there. But I just wanted to tell those of you who don't know that Enoch has officially been joined together with us in the ministry. He's a partner and a co-laborer. And we just feel so humbled and so privileged to have him with us. Enoch has already saved us from numerous blunders. Culturally, everything else. We really just look to him as our liaison for right now. He's teaching us language, and he's a very patient teacher. And you can see Enoch has a guitar there. There may be another picture of Enoch. I'm not sure if you want to. Yeah, there's Enoch with a group of the children in in the main village. And as Pastor Conrad in Bayway said, he was just with us, was it last week? And his words were, and Enoch has been under his, tutelage for most of his adult life. And so Conrad was able to say of this young man that when he's out there, it's as if he just comes alive. Or, you know, he's in his element, I think is the word that he used. So it's just obvious the gifting that the Lord has placed on this man, the way that he relates to the children, the way he relates to the adults, and he's just invaluable to us. I have no idea how long it would take and how painful it would be if we were trying to trudge down this road without him. So we know that at least for the meantime that the Lord has entrusted the Lozi work to us and our families, but we really feel like that our job is just to support this brother and to lift him up and just to do what we can to enable him to do what the Lord has enabled him to do. So that's Enoch. His son, Mordecai, is 8 years old, and we're praying that the Lord may provide a wife in the near future for our brother, but we don't know what he has planned. We're just looking at the practical things. Anyway, but I just want to move on and tell you how the Lord has taken us in a strange direction. I don't know which brother was praying 2 Corinthians 12 this morning, but I heard 12 verse 9 come out, that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And that has been our experience. And why are we so surprised when the Lord takes us into a territory where we feel completely ill-equipped? And yet we are surprised. And that's exactly where we are now. And I don't want to go over a lot of things that you may have already heard. But I'll just mention two areas where the Lord is taking us where we feel completely ill-equipped. And one is children's ministry and children's outreach. The other is agriculture. And you guys, for those of you who know us, those two areas are the furthest away from our background, our training, our knowledge. We know nothing. We just have experience with our own kids. When I was in ministry back in Hannibal, I avoided children's ministry like the plague. And I was scared of it. It didn't appeal to me. And here we are. And so we're, you know, our main job is to see the Lord raise up a church through systematic and constant Bible teaching. But that teaching is going to come through these relationships. And these relationships, the Lord is making it really obvious, are coming through children and through agriculture. So if we can show the next slide, this is just a real joy that we can share with you. One of our sister churches in Greenville area, they took it upon themselves to produce this children's catechism. It's called Kuna Nimulimu Waniti Yapila, which means literally, there is a true and living God. And they've taken on a big commitment. And by God's grace, they'll be able to do it. But they've committed to produce, I think, about 10 of these small booklets, just covering all of the foundational doctrines of the gospel. So this one has to do mainly with just who God is. And it answers 12. There are 12 questions in there and then 12 answers. But I'll just give you a short view. It has absolutely gorgeous artwork in it from one of the guys there at the church. And then Enoch has helped to interpret the entire thing. So it's in English, and then it's also in Lozi. And so the children were just absolutely delighted. But not just the children, the parents as well, because they don't own books. If they have a book, they might have a Lozi Bible that's sitting on their shelf. And so for them to get this book at the end of a week of teaching, that was a big deal. So we're working through that right now. We really did a focus on it. This is one of our friends that came from that church in Greenville, and she's teaching the lesson right there. But they came in August, and then we had another team that was just here in just there in February, and they taught through it again. So we're just really excited about the doors that the Lord is opening. And you might ask, why children? And I think one of the practical reasons to us is that with the older crowd, it's not that we want to just give up on them completely. We're not going to. But it is really, really hard and slow work to untrain their minds in the works gospel, the false gospel that they've been taught. And it's just so much easier to work with children and raise up a whole new generation that is wise unto salvation, as Paul described Timothy. So that's our prayer, and that's what we're going to really make an emphasis towards children. Then I also want to just, there's Sean teaching. This is just in February on the catechism. Next, I want to just highlight this little boy. This is our brother Enoch, and he's with this little boy named Sivulile. And this is just a short example of how the Lord is working through the children. This boy was completely shy and just acted very, more than just shy in the village. Compared to the other children, he was just ashamed all the time. And the Lord used an opportunity to work through Enoch, because Enoch was really disturbed by his name. His name, Sibulile, means it is rotten. And that's the literal translation. And so the Lozi give their kids some weird names, but Enoch said, this is more than just weird. This is wrong. It's evil. And so we all just talked amongst ourselves, and we said, you know what, this is an awesome opportunity to be able to share the gospel with this little boy. And so the next time we saw him, we pulled over to the side of the road, had him come over with his friends, and we just sat down and we said, Sibulile, we want to know, do you know what your name means? And we asked his friends, they did, and they were all, you know, embarrassed about it. Yeah, it means it is rotten. And then the Lord just opened up this opportunity to say to him, you know what, little guy? Every single one of us, when we're born, our hearts are rotten. We are rotten. But God wants to create in us a new heart. He wants to take out our rotten heart and put in a heart of flesh, a new heart, and give us a new name. And so then we were able to just share with him what Christ did and how much he loves him, and that it is God's desire to give him a new heart and a new name. So we started calling him Vuncha, and Vuncha means new life. And so every time we see him, we just holler out, hey, Vuncha. And it's just remarkable. We're just trusting that the Lord is going to just put his seal on this little boy and raise him up to be a godly man in the village and in that church. And he'll be a church leader someday. I'm just trusting the Lord by faith that he's going to do a mighty work. But he has already been transformed in a way. And he comes running to us every time we show up at the camp. And he's excited to see us. And he doesn't hide anymore. So we've been working with him as also in physical ways just to help him out, because he's very unhealthy right now. And then I just wanted to mention another man named Gift. And we are really pushing on the time. I'm sorry about that. This man, Gift, is on the east side of the river. We're on the west side of the Zambezi. Gift is on the east side. The last time we saw him was in 2008. And just to summarize, this man was possessed by demons, and for 14 years, from 94 until 08, he was absolutely insane. And lost his job and went out into the village and would frequently run around naked and run off into the bush and get lost. So the Lord in 2008 delivered this man, and he contacted Sean on the phone just out of the blue and said, I really would like to see you, men, but it's been almost 3 years. And we said, well, Gift, there's no way logistically that we can get around to where you are right now. But we will be out at the bush camp if you want to come to us. And so he came. He walked 3 hours to the ferry and then came across the river, and we picked him up there. And the man, all of these sermons, he's got a stack of sermons and notes and things that we had given him at the time because we didn't have any other literature. Well, he had kept all of those in a plastic sleeve and had been reading them over and over and over again. And he would take each one out as like it was just this precious thing. And then he would tell us, you know, how the Lord had taught him from this material. And it was just incredible. The things that were coming out of his mouth, there's no other explanation except that it was supernatural. The wisdom, he's being taught by God. And so we really praise the Lord for him. We were able to give him a bunch of material, send him back with a stack of books. And we promised Gift that we would be there to see him in April or May, just as soon as we can get over there. But Gift is also very talented as a farmer. And his crops are so good, in fact, that in this Sesheke district, the government chose him over all the other farmers to represent them for conservation farming. Now, he didn't even know about Foundations for Farming, which is this whole other ministry that the Lord's opened up to us. It used to be called Farming God's Way, but the name's been changed to Foundations for Farming. So he just learned that from us as we were sitting there, and he's telling us about his incredible maize crops and how the Lord's been blessing his farming efforts. It was just obvious providence that the Lord had brought us together. And his eyes are lit up about about our interest in agriculture, but we told them we have absolutely no knowledge and no experience. We just know that the Lord has dropped this in our lap, and we've got to take it and run with it. So we're really excited about what the Lord's going to do with this man when we get back.
Okay, just one other quick and exciting thing. We've been working in the village of El Wendo since 2004, Shannon started, so 6-7 years now. And pouring our efforts there, and it's just becoming more apparent those people just have purely false motives for wanting us there. They are bored with us. They are uninterested in the gospel, and the questions begin to arise, at what point do you shake the dust off? And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit seems to be moving to the south of that village, about 15, 20 minutes. There's a village called Salamanu and a village of Jacobo. Salamanu, we went there a month ago to teach the catechism again. And it was mainly the ladies teaching this catechism to children, two sessions a day, the same thing, because the younger ones go in the afternoon, older ones in the morning. And we were shocked to watch the men of that village come and listen to these children's lessons, not just once, but twice. They would come to the same lesson in the afternoon, bring their paper and their pen, take notes. They were answering the questions, the men were, when we were asking the kids the question. One time, one of the ladies visiting us, we were supposed to tell a Bible story that went with each lesson. She was new. She was nervous. She went through the catechism but forgot to tell the Bible story. And one of the men raised his hands and said, "Can you tell us the scripture that goes with this catechism?" And then they called Enoch and our worker Vincent aside after that and said, "Would you please tell the missionaries they must come start a church in our village?" And said, "Tell them, don't worry, we know they have to go back to Livingston from time to time, but if they will keep coming and if they will teach us, we will meet, even if they're not here." So that was exciting. And how do you turn down that invitation, right? So obviously we're going to be planting a church in Salamanu. Right next to that is the village of Jacobo. Gift, after he came to visit us, he was going back to the ferry at Jacobo. The ferryman was drunk. He had to spend the night in the village before he could get across the river. So while he's there, he starts sharing his testimony in the village, how God delivered him from demons. The next time our worker walked through that village, they said, "Could you have the missionaries come and pray for some of our women that have demons in this village?" And so the next time we were out there with Pastor Conrad and Bayway, we went to the village. And he gave us a wonderful quick school in doing village ministry and counseled with a group of about 10 or 12 women and some children and just dealt far more with the gospel than with demons, which was wonderful. And as he was counseling them, very pointedly asked them questions about their view of forgiveness and God and salvation. And they were giving the typical Catholic and new apostle false answers. And Conrad just told them, "You are wrong. You are completely wrong." And Shannon and I are like, "That's kind of rude, you know?" And these women's eyes got real big. And after the second or third time he told them they were wrong, they sent the children away. And we're like, "What's going on?" A couple minutes later, the kids come back with paper and pens again, just like Salamanu Village, and the only Bible they have among them. And they started turning in their Bible to every reference that Conrad was teaching and writing them down. And after that, Enoch said, you know, they asked for Bibles. And Enoch said, "Well, we don't have any extra right now. Can we come back and give out Bibles later?" And then he said, "By the way, would you like us to come back and teach the Bible on a regular basis?" And they just looked at him like he was stupid. They said, "How could you even ask such a question?" Of course. So we will be traveling across the river to disciple Gift on a regular basis. And we'll be working now on a regular basis in Salamanu and Jacobo. So that's where the work is headed in the days to come. And we appreciate your prayers. Thanks.
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com. There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.